Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
At the beginning of this year, I believed we were going to take our international mission trip to Nicaragua, as we've been doing for many years now here at the chapel. Even as I started to hear the news of political unrest in the capital of Nicaragua, I believed it would settle down and we would still get to go and travel and visit the feeding center that we support as a church. I was looking forward to connecting with our Nicaraguan friends like Pastor Jose Luis. However, the violence in Nicaragua continued to escalate and eventually became clear that we were not going to be able to travel safely to Nicaragua. So my belief in our trip faded away. At this point, it was a month before we were supposed to depart, and began to wonder, could we even switch quick enough to find another international location? At one point, I had reservations with 3 different airlines to 2 different locations, and I still struggled to believe this was all going to happen because the plane tickets were all hundreds of dollars more than the original tickets to Nicaragua. However, during my last conversation with United Airlines, as we switched between different airports to find reasonably priced flights, we found a flight that was $200 cheaper per person than all the other reservations I had in place with the other airlines. So my belief to a new trip to Costa Rica started to form. Belief about most things in life tends to ebb and flow as our circumstances change or we gather new facts and information. Setbacks cause our belief to waver or falter. And finding a great deal on a flight can sometimes give us new hope for a new belief to a new place. However, as Nick just read from Genesis 15, we find that Abram, who is also known as Abraham later and more famously known by that name, chooses to believe that God would provide a child for him the way God said he would. Abram was somewhere between 75 and 99 years old at this point, and so the biological facts of life did not support his belief. He was too old usually to have kids at that point. Yet we find that his belief in God's promise for offspring remained firm. How did Abram get to this place of deep trust and belief in God? This past summer on our trips, we introduced a phrase to describe the way Abram approached life. Abram's story is filled with pivotal faith moments where he either built or visited a previously built altar. In fact, in chapters 12 and 13 of Genesis alone, there are 4 times where he either builds a new altar or go visits one he had already built. As a result, we used a phrase we said that represented Abram. We said he chose to live altered. And he challenges each of us to live altered lives. Now, what we mean by this phrase comes from the idea that these 4 altars in chapters 12 and 13 give us an inside look to the foundations of Abram's belief. I believe can become foundational for our own belief as well. Before we look at those altars, though, I want to make sure we all know what I mean by altar when we read in the Bible. Here are a couple pictures. The one on the right, some archaeologists have found some remains, and they think that some of the altars in the Old Testament may have looked like that one, really polished with 4 horns on the corners. Most likely, though, Abram's altars probably were less polished and more just purposefully placed stones, kind of like more the one on the left. And the reason for these altars is less about the external appearance. It doesn't really matter if it looked like this one or that one. It's more about what they represent, because these stone structures were physical reminders of spiritual moments or truths that Abram did not want to forget. So, first, in chapter 12, verse 7, God appeared to Abram and promised him that he would give the land that was before him to his offspring. Abram built an altar as a physical reminder of this spiritual moment where he encountered God. As you've heard from so many, our trips this summer were filled with people encountering God. And I hope this morning you either had a moment where you personally encountered God or have been challenged to want to have your own fresh encounter with God. We all need moments in which God clearly reveals himself and makes his presence undeniable to us. For Abram, this appearance was the fuel that helped him along the journey moving forward. And I think it can be the fuel for us as well. Second, in chapter 12, verse 8, just one verse later, this was after God appeared. Abram had continued to travel towards the land God was giving him. And he built another altar in chapter 12, verse 8, where it says that Abram called upon the name of the Lord. In other words, while his travels continued, Abram realized, I need God's help. And so he built an altar, created a place to help him remind him to do this continually. Throughout Genesis, this phrase, called upon the name of the Lord, pops up in a few different places. And most commentators believe that these are some of the earliest recorded moments of formal and structured worship found in the Bible. So as we sit here in church this morning, we're embracing a modern form of this altar that Abram created, a physical location that helps push us to call upon the Lord. Or in other words, a place that reminds us and helps us to worship God. However, as you've hopefully been learning this summer as we've studied the book of Psalms, worship is much more than just what we do here on Sunday morning. And I think the personal nature of Abram's altar reminds us that every day we can engage in worship through prayer, devotion, other acts that help us daily call upon the Lord. Next, in chapter 13, verse 4, Abram, we find, actually returns back to the altar we just talked about. He'd been wandering away from the promised land down to Egypt due to a famine in the land. And so I refer to this altar as the altar of repentance. The word repentance just literally means to turn 180 degrees and go back the direction God is actually wanting you to go. For Abram, he had to literally turn around and go back to the place where he had previously called upon the Lord. He recognized while he was in Egypt that that was not where God wanted him to be. And he needed a moment of repentance to line back up with God's will for his life. Repentance is difficult, though, because it requires us to admit weakness. But if we're honest, like Abraham, we all stray away from God at times. So incorporating the discipline of regular repentance in our lives allows God to provide the necessary course corrections, sometimes in small ways each day, or sometimes in a big way. We have to recognize that a big chunk of our life needs to be changed, and we need to move away from that current way of living. The final altar we'll look at is in chapter 13, verse 18. And this is the altar of assurance, I call it. And at this spot, God assures Abraham of the promises he had already given him. He doesn't give him much new information. He just tells him the same thing again. Hey, don't forget, these promises are still true for you. I think he knew Abram had gone through some rough patches recently and has faced some tough situations. And God knew that he might be struggling to know if God's original plan was in place. So this altar is a physical reminder to Abram that God is still present and his promises remain for Abram. We all will face or are currently facing circumstances that leave us wondering if God's promises are true as well. This whole summer, one of the new realities for me was my older daughter, Mackenzie, having the mental capacity for the first time to know daddy was gone. She's 2 and a half, you'll see a picture of her here in a second. So I would leave feeling a little guilty because I knew Alexis, my wife, had to not only take care of both kids, but also try to describe to Mackenzie where daddy was. However, as I checked in with Alexis throughout my trips, I was reminded not only of how strong and caring my wife is, and she sacrificed for me and our family to care for Mackenzie and Finley and did an awesome job this summer, but how blessed we are by the community of family and friends that are in our lives. I think God often reassures us or gives us these assurances through community at times. For me this summer, I saw that and God reminded me that they would be okay. So I hope this morning, I hope this altar can encourage you to be thankful for or seek out a caring community of people that can assure you that God is with you whenever you need it. So I think these four altars of Abram represent great practices for our own lives that can lead to a firm foundation of belief in God that can remain strong no matter the circumstances of life, like Abram. Throughout our summer trips, as you've heard, we gave all our teams opportunities to engage in this altered way of living. At the end of the week on our mission trips, we asked everyone to answer the question, what has been holding you back from fully believing in Jesus? Then we gave them the opportunity to offer those obstacles to God and start to remove them and say, I want to start to embrace the altered lifestyle that Abram showed us how to live. And so this morning, I want to ask all of us the same question. What is holding you back from fully believing or committing to Jesus? Do you need a fresh encounter with God like Abram had at the altar of appearance? Do you need to start calling upon the Lord more regularly in your life like Abram did at the altar of calling? Is there something you need to repent of like Abram did at the altar of repentance? Do you need to invest in a community of people that can remind you of the promises of God for you in your life, like Abram needed at the altar of assurance? In the passage that Nick read, it said that God credited Abram's belief as righteousness. In the same way, our belief in the promises of God, which have ultimately been fulfilled in Jesus, leads to a restoration of our relationship with God. So in our restored relationship with God, we are able to live altered lives on a daily basis, knowing that God is present with us. He is listening when we call. He will forgive when we repent. And he will provide other people to reassure us when we need it. So as we close our service this morning, we wanted to give all of us the opportunity to engage in an act of altar worship by singing the song that you heard during the offertory, as Isaac mentioned. As was mentioned earlier, this was our theme song for the summer to remind us of the moments when Abram called upon the Lord. And so as we finish our service, I would ask all of us to stand or sit if that's a better posture of worship for you, that's fine. And let's join with Isaac and the band as we sing this song titled, Call Upon the Lord.